dangerous if you so shall desire. This is the day the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. Amen. God is good all the time. Yeah. Anybody going through anything? Praise God, you're going through though, right? Don't get stuck. Don't want any stuck believers. Hallelujah. Would you turn to the book of Acts, please? The book of Acts. We have a saying in this house, if you don't learn, you get burned. Jesus, one of the things he required is that we learn. He said, come to me and learn from me. So there's always training going on. He took his disciples in a training course. He trained them up so that when he would leave, they would act like him and know the things. One of the things Jesus wants to do is express himself through you. You know, if we'll just take the moment of time and examine ourselves and say, you know what, am I expressing Christ through me? Am I allowing Christ to express himself through me? That's how we examine ourselves. Then we'll know what kind of condition we're in. We'll know whether we're in divine order, because divine order is essential. Divine order allows the divine nature to be manifested. And when there's a divine nature manifested, you have divine favor. Favor, that means heaven's behind you. And we don't want heaven just be behind us partial of time. We want heaven behind us all the time. You know, people can have the form of acts. Even Jesus said, many will come before me and say, Lord, Lord. And he'll say, look it, I don't know you. And they'll go, wait a minute, we cast out devils. We laid hands on the sick. We did all of these things. And they had a form of act. But their heart was distant because they were practicing lawlessness. See, religion has nothing to do with relationship. Anybody can manifest in the gifts. But one of the things God is looking for is not perfect people, but loyal. I want to say that again. He's not looking for a perfect person. He's looking for a loyal person. Always. Someone that is loyal to him. Someone that's consistent. You can't be loyal if you're not consistent. It's impossible. Loyal means that you're going to do whatever it takes. And you're going to fulfill what he asked you to do all the way through, no matter what. Loyal means that you're going to show up to him when he says, when he calls your name. Loyal. He's looking for loyalty. You know, one of the things is in a training, as Jesus was training them, why do you think he left the Bible behind? Why? Something was written. Amen? Amen. Then he left the Holy Spirit for take this logos word, and bring an impartation so that it could be expressed in a rhema word. But we know that this is not the end, is it? This is a small speck of what God is and what he can do. This is a small speck. Even the word tells us there are so many things Jesus did, it couldn't be written enough. That's why he left his Holy Spirit. And see, the Bible says the Holy Spirit guides us and brings us into the deeper things of God. And if you're not thirsty and hungry for the deeper things of God, you won't get it. You'll stay right where you are. Even the word says, desire the gifts. Desire. There should be a desire within us that we should want to know him more. I want to know you more. And by knowing him more, he begins to release more to us. He begins to reveal more. Lord, I want to know your, Lord, cause me to know your voice. What do I need to do? You know, it was difficult for me after my visitation from the Lord. And I wanted to know his voice so much. And so, man, I used to go in the bathroom and lay on the bathroom floor and cry. I want to know your voice. I want to know your voice. I want to know when he was speaking to me already. And I didn't know. I thought it was me. He said, guy, that's my voice. Oh, that's you? Yes. Did you hear me when I called you? Well, I thought it was me. No, that's me. One of the greatest desires we should want to know is his voice. We should want to know him. And there's times when you begin to know who he is, what he's about to speak, that he doesn't have to speak anymore. He releases. You just know that you know that you know. And it's not got nothing to do about a feeling or an emotion. We don't move by how we feel. Well, I felt this. Anybody tells me I felt this, I push him away. stay away. Why? Because feelings are the most deceptive things there are. There's a lot of people going out there, I feel this. They're nutty. They're nutty and fruity. That's what we call granolas. They go around doing all kinds of ministry things by how they feel. And that's all they do is impart soulishness. And when we're in the ministry of the Spirit, it's got nothing to do with feel. It's about truth. And when we begin to realize truth is life. And truth is not just something you learn. Truth is a person. See, when we take what we learn and realize that this whole Bible is talking about a person, a creator who made me and you. Truth is life. It's alive. So when we know truth and we practice truth, it's because we begin to walk in the Spirit, because it's life to me and you. And when we begin to eat truth, it's bringing life to us. And it brings us out of the deception and brings us into the reality that there's another place that is so much more important than here. There's another place that's so much important than my needs, my wants, and my desires. There's another place. And that's that place that we want to be in all the time and always want to be desiring to. The Word says that the world is passing away. And the lust of it, but it ain't gone yet. Hello? It's not gone yet. We're still battling against these things on a daily basis. This is not our home. The ruler of this earth is Satan and his kingdom. We're on his property now, even though the owner of the property is our dad. So that gives us a little bit of advantage. Now, you know, I'm not asking anyone to break the law or anything, but I have gone to places and parked in places, and somebody's come out and said, you can't park. And I said, my dad owns this place. And they said, oh, okay. But he does own this place. He owns it all. See, but this must be something that has to become a reality. See, because when something becomes a reality and you see it, you walk in faith. See, faith is not blind. Let me do this by faith. That's not faith. Faith is to be able to spiritually see. Jesus walked in faith because when God spoke, Jesus saw it, he did it. He said, I don't do anything unless I see my Father do it first. That's his faith. Abraham, God spoke to Abraham and said, Abraham, I want you to move. You're going to be a father of nations. And Abraham saw it and he obeyed. When he obeyed and walked in faith. That's called faith. That's why he saw it. And when he did obey, it was known as righteousness. See, so the fruit of obedience is righteousness. But there's this place that the enemy wants to constantly prevent us from getting to. And there's things that the Holy Spirit wants to break us loose from. One of the things is ourself. Hello, ourself. And those areas of bondage to feelings, oppression. The enemy is oppressing people. Jesus came to destroy the works of the enemy who were taking his people in oppression. Amen? In Acts 17, in verse 22, it says, then Paul stood in the midst of the Areopagus and said, men of Athens, I perceive that in all things you are very religious. For I was passing through and considering the objects of your worship. I even found an altar in this inscription to the unknown God. Therefore, the one whom you worship without knowing, him I proclaim to you. God who made the world and everything in it, since he is Lord of heaven and earth, does not dwell in temples made with hands, nor is he worshipped with men's hands as though he needed anything, since he gives to all life, breath, and all things. And he has made from one blood every nation of men to dwell on the face of the earth, and has determined their what? Pre-appointed times and the boundaries of their dwellings, so that they should seek the Lord in the hope that they might grope for him and find him, though he is not far from each of us. For in him we live and move and have our being, and also some of your own poets have said, for we are also his offspring. His offspring. Now there's something very important here, because it says something that He has determined their pre-appointed times and boundaries of your dwellings. You know, one of the things that God does is he sets boundaries. And we have a teaching called Boundaries of Worldliness and so forth. Boundaries are vitally important. And I believe that everything that we associate in the kingdom of God is set by boundaries. Even when God, in Genesis 1:1, the first thing it talks about times. When God, and God, in the beginning, the word says, in the beginning. So, in other words, God, the first thing God created was time. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Right there are boundaries. But it was associated with a time. You know, your families, our forefathers, at a certain specific time, God had them migrate to this country. And then there was a boundary set. There are boundaries set between the physical realm and the spiritual realm. There are boundaries. The Holy Spirit sets boundaries for me and you. And by learning these boundaries, in these boundaries, it keeps us in God's will. So one of the things that he's always doing, everything that you and I do, we learn boundaries. Everything's associated with boundaries. It's associated with time and boundaries. There are boundaries of how much you should say something. There are boundaries of your thoughts. There are boundaries of your actions. There are boundaries. Everything is associated with boundaries. And without learning boundaries, you cannot earn the trust of God. There are boundaries. There are places that he's saying, don't go into. Amen? There are boundaries of your eating. He's saying, don't eat that. Don't eat anymore. There are boundaries. There's all kinds of boundaries. There's the Bible tells us that the world is lust of the eye, lust of the flesh, and pride of life. Those are all sorts of associations with boundaries. People marrying the people they're not supposed to be marrying. People buying things they're not supposed to be buying. Why? Because they're going beyond the boundaries, and it brings nothing but havoc. God sets boundaries in our life and pre-appointed times and boundaries. Is everybody okay? So even our forefathers that came from other nations that migrated here, they came with traditions of habits. Traditional habits. Is everybody with me? Traditional habits. And one of the things that the Holy Spirit begins to do with me and you is setting up these boundaries, is he's trying to bring us to the place, because in the book of Corinthians, if you'll go there for 1 minute, 1 Corinthians 15. In 1 Corinthians 15, in verse 33, the reason for boundaries is that area that, so we begin to learn these boundaries and sensitivity to these boundaries, and eventually as we begin to learn the voice of God and be led by the Spirit, the boundaries now, the fences now come down, because the Holy Spirit doesn't need those, even because you know them. Now, you don't know them without practicing. Amen? Now, in verse 33, it says, don't be what? Don't be deceived. Evil company corrupts what? Good habits. Good habits. So one of the things that the Holy Spirit wants us to do is create new habits. Because even these traditional habits and bad habits that we've accumulated, built up, a habit is an association with a memory, an emotion, and it gets burned together, and it creates a habit. That feeling. Even when you quit using drugs, when you quit drinking alcohol, when you quit smoking, you may not have that desire anymore because the Spirit's left you. But there's still that, you may be driving by a place and think, well, I need to go in here because that's where I used to go because of the old bad habit. So some people begin to exchange those things, and they may not want to smoke anymore, so they begin to chew gum, and even though the Spirit's gone, because of the habit of smoking, or the habit of, you know, going into places and so forth. Associations, you know, bad associations will corrupt good habits. So one of the things the Holy Spirit wants to do is create new habits, and the first thing he does is first starting to create new memories. He begins to create a new memory, and then he begins to initiate that memory with pleasing him. And what it does is it burns that memory with love. With love. That's the emotion. That's the feeling. Because love is an emotion. But it's not lust. It's love. So things that the Holy Spirit burns to... Why? Because there's joy in obedience, isn't there? Amen? There's joy in obedience. So when we know that we're pleasing God, there's joy. Amen? The joy of the Lord is our strength, and in His presence is fullness of joy. And God's presence is love. So He begins to take things of memory and burn it with love or joy associated with Him. And what it does is it releases a new habit, a good habit, good habits. You know, you think about every Friday night we used to go to places we shouldn't go. We'd be preparing for Friday night. And then we try and extend it to Saturday night. And some of us extended it from Friday to Friday. And so forth. And when even though you stop using and you stop all some of the old stuff, again, some of those habits are still there. So what we're doing now, creating a new habit. So next thing you know, now when we're in Friday night worship service. So that's now our Friday night. Now we're coming to Joel's place. And we're getting and the drinks are in the house. Amen. And we're just getting nice and drunk in the spirit. So this is now a good habit, isn't it? So you've created a good habit. You've created, some of us have been involved in religion. So we'd go to a service and we'd hear whatever, and they'd do a few songs and pass the bucket around and everybody goes home. But now there's a new habit being created. And that new habit is getting in His presence. Don't quit until you're in. That's a good habit. See, so the Holy Spirit always starts creating good habits. So there's an exchange of old habits for new habits. We have a tendency to want to react on everything. Again, that reaction must be grabbed and choked until we respond. Waiting on response. That's creating a new habit. That's a good habit. Because reaction is a bad habit. It will get you in trouble. You know, people just shoot off to the mouth everything they feel because they don't monitor it, examine it. That's creating a new habit by what? Monitoring things. You know? We have a tendency to think worst first. Oh my God! Instead of grabbing hold of that. See, that's a bad habit. Because we were brought up that way. We were brought up in unforgiveness, in bitterness. We were brought up that way. We were brought up that you're nobody unless you're successful. We were brought up that way. That you had to be somebody when we already were. We were brought up that way. Those were with bad habits. We were brought up that you can't get nowhere unless you get an education, unless you do this, unless you do that. Nobody's going to take care of you. You got to fight for yourself. We were brought up that way. We were brought up in survival mode. But that's a habit, isn't it? Until it turns around to a surrender mode habit. So no matter what's going on, man, you've built and established, created a new habit that says, I'm waiting. I'm going to wait. In fact, you come to a place where you like them. Why? Because you know these good habits now please God. See, all of these things begin to unravel and unfold as our walk increases with the Lord. So unfortunately, too many are not allowing it to happen. Your cooperation allows a creation of a new habit. Your rebellion will keep your old habit. In fact, rebellion is an old habit of itself, isn't it? Amen. When we didn't worship, which is a bad habit not to worship. That's a bad habit. So now we break that habit and we worship, which is a good habit. You know, lift a song of praise when the flood of the enemy comes in. It's a weapon of praise. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, creating new habits. Creating new habits will also put you in a place where you find yourself to be loyal to the King. See, when we look at the area that we love Him and you want to be loyal to Him and you don't want anything to interfere, you've got to create new habits and get rid of old ones. That's just the way it is. You know, even in relationship, when you meet someone and there's a relationship and the Lord says, this is the one you're going to marry. I said, the Lord says this one's the one you're going to marry. And you have confirmation on these things. Then you know that that individual in the relationship, you'll find that there's habits they have. Because they're bringing in their traditional old habits. And these are things where habits, old habits, must be destroyed, removed, where new habits are created. So it takes cooperation by guidance of the Holy Spirit with each other so that new habits are created that are pleasing to God and are pleasing to one another. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17, is everybody there? It says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things, that old things means old habits, hello, have passed away. And behold, all things, new habits are being what? Becoming new. They're creating new. So it's going to take cooperation. I didn't say it was going to feel good. Hello? You know, when people join the military, they have to go through boot camp. Believe me, you don't like the feeling of going through boot camp. Some people hate being told what to do. That's a bad habit. Even when they're standing in a fire and they're saying, come out of the fire, I ain't moving. Okay, burn. Yeah, quit eating that, it's killing you. No, I ain't gonna eat that stuff. I'll go ahead and continue to perish. See, in these areas of rebellion, Jesus said, he who's in Christ is a new creation. Old things are passing away. All things are being made new. What's he talking about? Habits. These are habits. Things that are associated with habits. We're a habit people. People love habits. How about getting up every morning instead of running and making breakfast right away? How about changing that habit to calling on the name of the Lord and going to pray? Bring your coffee or your tea or your shake with you in prayer. How about breaking that habit of just praying in the car? I'll pray in the car when I get there. How about breaking that habit? Can you really give your full attention to the Lord when you're busy watching everything else? That's not your priority. There's nothing wrong with praying in the car, believe me. I used to like to go on trips back and forth for an hour or two and pray in the Spirit and worship the Lord. But that was additional. That was not my prayer time. That's additional. But some people make it their prayer time. And I can tell you, while you're watching red lights, stopping at stop signs, and watching people driving back and forth, you're not, okay, Lord, yeah, what's up? And then I'm, you know, it's impossible, really, to get what you need to get. Not saying that certain things can't. But what God wants is your undivided attention. Undivided attention. Why? Because if you give him your undivided attention, he'll give you his. So these are things that we must break bad habits to create new ones. And again, these bad habits aren't gone. They're still burned in you. But now you have a new one created that overtakes it because it's backed by the anointing. Amen? It's different. People have a tendency with a bad habit. They get frustrated. They run to the refrigerator. They eat a pint of ice cream. Anything that goes wrong, they do something to self-destruct. They get so angry. That's a bad habit. Amen? See, a new habit must be created. When things are going wrong, you praise God. Hallelujah! Why? Because what you're doing is you're changing course. You're changing the course of the atmosphere. Why? Because demons know, spirits know when things are about to happen or they're trying to create something to change the atmosphere so they can come and get fed. But you have dominion over the atmosphere. You can take dominion over the atmosphere. People get in an argument. There should be no arguments. There shouldn't be any arguments. Why do people argue? Because they've been influenced by a demon and he's getting ready to get fed. And he called all of his friends and said, come on, let's create more of an argument. And they all eat dinner and then they party for a while. And everybody is all, and they leave. Then everything calms down. Oh, man, I'm really sorry. You know, you just fed all the spirits around in the area and it's too late now. But you still need to repent. Why? Because the blood must come before the spirit. Believe me, we grieve the spirit when we get into those areas of the flesh. The Holy Spirit steps back, demons come in, and they start getting fed. Then when we repent, the blood comes and the spirit comes after the blood because the blood always goes before the spirit. Why? Because the blood makes a clean place. Amen? That's why the Holy Spirit draws. He doesn't come there. He draws until you get into that place. That's why he convicts. He convicts. Why? So you're repentant. He can come back in. Hallelujah. Romans 8. And he who is in Christ is a new creation. Old habits are being passed away. Why? There's the opportunity of cooperation to remove things of the old and bring in the new. Romans 8 verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh but according to the Spirit. There's no condemnation. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh. On account of sin, he condemned sin in the flesh. That the righteous requirement, everyone say righteous requirement, of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the what? Flesh. But according to the what? So if you walk according to the flesh, are you free? No. No. And you're not fulfilling the law, the requirement that maintains the fulfillment of the law. Only those who are walking according to the Spirit will fulfill the requirement of fulfilling the law. So there's a difference in how we're judged, isn't it? Now we can be judged by the commandments, the old covenant commandments, or we can be judged by God through the Spirit. Amen? And nobody can fulfill the old commandments. That was the tutor. I would rather be led by the mentor of the Holy Spirit. Amen? Why? Because he gives it. When you're led by the mentor of the Holy Spirit, there's conviction. You're walking in Christ. In Christ. In the anointing. So in Christ, in the Spirit, a place of things which are, things are being made new. Amen? And the old is being removed by our cooperation. Amen? All things. Like thoughts, desires, attitudes, motives, lusts, fears, habits. And we're getting new thoughts, aren't we? God is creating new thoughts in me and you. In Romans 12, in verse 1 and 2. Brethren, by the mercies of God that you what? Present your bodies a living sacrifice. Do you present your body as a living sacrifice? That must be a new habit, a created new habit every day. Lord, I submit to you my spirit, soul, body, and flesh as a living sacrifice. That's my prayer every day, one of them. First of all, I repent. I can't give him something that's blemished. I can only offer something that's not blemished because he won't accept it. So you repent for us. Lord, forgive me for my words, thoughts, and deeds, my attitude, motive, and desires, sins and transgressions, all of these things. And then you're able to present your spirit, soul, and body and flesh to him as a living sacrifice. And it will be accepted because it's now been washed by the blood, blemish free. And he's looking for it. See, he's looking for you to surrender, to give it all to him every day. That's what we call denying yourself, giving it to him. Amen? It says, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So we want to be transformed. That means things that are being created. New created memories. New created habits. Boundaries. Boundaries by the Holy Spirit that's set. That we are sensitive to these things. Everything is established by boundaries. That's what the kingdom is established in. Again, by creating new thoughts or memories, we begin to create new habits. In Ephesians 4. You know, even an athlete has to create new habits. We have old habits of waiting to swing a bat, swing a tennis racket, whatever it may be, even swimming. Some people only knew the doggy paddle, you know. That was their only habit of survival in the water. That's all they knew, until they learned how to swim. They created a new habit. What? Did it help? Yes. But one of the things that the Lord is taking from us is so that habits are created to assist us in this realm, but they're attached to the eternal things. They're always attached to the eternal things so that the eternal things can always flow. See, we always want to be connected to the things of eternity so that it's always flowing. We're always being, it's almost like an umbilical cord to heaven. So that everything is just, we're being fed from everything there. Everything is associated with where you came from, home, heaven. In Ephesians chapter 4, is everybody there? In verse 17, this I say, therefore, in testifying the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the what? Gentiles walk in the futility of their mind. How about bad habits? Having their understanding what? Darkened. Being alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over to lewdness, to the work of all uncleanness with greediness. But you've not so learned Christ. You've not learned his ways. You're not willing to exchange your ways for his ways. If indeed you have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning your former conduct. You put off. Oh Lord, when are you going to remove this? When are you going to give it to me? Oh Lord, when are you going to do this? He's going, when are you going to do this? Why do you keep trying to force something that's not God's will? The end result is always disastrous. Always. It may feel good. It may seem good. It may taste good. It may smell good. Because you want it to be. It's like somebody who finds a kitten on the road and brings it home and pets it, brings it in and says, look what I found. And found out it's a rat. They wanted it to be a kitten. But it wasn't. It's our responsibility to put on a new man with new thoughts, memories, motive, attitude, and habits. It's our responsibility. Well, God gives us the opportunity in cooperation with him so this could happen. Amen? In Colossians chapter 3. So the more you do something, the more you practice it, the more eventually you're going to beat down that old habit. You know, the more you do it, it will become a part of your life. See, because there's a difference of kingdom living and carnal living. Kingdom living has a good habit of prayer every morning. You don't do anything without acknowledging the Lord first. Oh, let's go do this. No, wait a minute. We're going to pray. See, that's a new habit. See, even when you sit down and grace, man, you find yourself going back to some of your old family or people that you used to hang around. Yeah, let's go to dinner. They go to dinner and everybody's getting ready to... Yeah, hold it, man. Is anybody going to bless the food? Huh? See, that's a good habit. It's a new habit. Man, I don't eat anything unless I bless it. And people don't even know I bless it sometimes because they're over there. Lord, I bless this food. Hallelujah. Colossians 3, verse 5. Is everybody there? Let's speak it. Therefore what? Put to death. I love that. Put to death. Kill that thing. Put it to death. If something's dead, it ain't alive. If something's dead, it can't even speak. Therefore, put to death your what? Members, which are on the earth. Fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience, in which you yourselves once walked when you lived in them. But now you yourselves are to put off all these, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. Those are habits, aren't they? Do not lie. People lie. That's a habit to somebody. They're so used to lying every time that they refuse to accept correction, so they lie. I didn't do that. It wasn't my fault. Well, what's in your hand? Oh, where did that come from? The one thing you just stole. You know, see, there's that old habit, trying to protect self because of survival mode. So people lie. Children have a tendency to lie. Because they're little flesh creatures. They're born of the flesh. They're not born yet of the spirit. That's why it's always me, 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 me. And they cry until they get it. Although we do have some older ones the same way these days. Hallelujah. Okay, yeah. And verse 9. Do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds. And have put on the what? New man, who is renewed in the knowledge according to the image of him who created him, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcised nor uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, nor free, but Christ is in all and in all. Put to death old habits, old ways, old thoughts, and put on a new man by created new memories and new habits. Hallelujah. In Romans 7. Did you ever say to yourself, I'm not used to this? There's something you got in, I'm not used to this. Well, you're exploring then. I'm not used to this. You're exploring. Amen. Or maybe there's something God's, when you're saying, I'm not used to this long worship. Maybe God, you know, look, when you go to a grocery store, do you only want to leave it one bag or two? So what God does is in worship is he stretches you. Why? So you can get more. So we praise and worship, and we go to, we worship till you drop. Then you can leave with more than two bags. See, God just wants to expand your boundary. As he expands your boundary in receiving in this, in worship, he imparts more. And when he imparts more, you have more fuel to last longer. And you become more sensitive to the boundaries. You become loyal. You're earning his trust more. And one thing we desire, at least if you don't desire to earn his trust, then you're really not a believer. I mean, if you have no desire to earn the trust of God, there's something wrong with you. You're not in Christ. You're still in yourself. In Romans chapter 7, verse 15, Paul said, for what I am doing, I do not understand. For what I will to do, that I do not practice. But what I hate, that I do. If then I do what I will not to do, I agree with the law that it is good, but now it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells within me. In other words, his influence is demonic. Let me tell you, demonic influences create bad habits. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, nothing good dwells, for to will is present with me, but to how to perform what is good I do not find. It's not in us. It's not in our flesh. For the good that I will to do, I do not do, but the evil I will not to do, that I practice. Now, if I do what I will not to do, it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells in me. So what's got to change? We've got to put to death the members. I find in a law that evil is present with me, the one who wills to do good. For I delight in the law of God according to the inward man, but I see another law in my members warring against the law of my mind, my thoughts, or my spirit, bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. That's why he said, put to death your members. Paul was acknowledging this and recognizing this. O wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind or my spirit, I will serve the law of God, but in the flesh, the law of sin. Thank you, Lord, for the anointing. See, this is where the anointing comes into effect. The eternal presence, power, and truth, because a conviction comes. What's he doing? He's exposing the members in us, those habits in us that are still ungodly, that are evil presence. And he says, put them to death. Destroy them. Remove them. And replace them with that which is anointed from the Lord. Psalm 141. Creating new habits. But you first got to create new memories, right? You know, sometimes we're creating new memories, but we're not willing to go the extra step to create new habits. And these new habits are going to establish boundaries, and you're going to know. You know what? I shouldn't be doing that. I'm getting too close to that. Did you ever get around someone and they'll be giving their testimony, and next thing they're going in their war story. They've gone beyond the boundary. Now they're planting corruptible seeds when they were first planting righteous seeds. See, if you don't know your boundaries, the enemy will use you. Same thing with thoughts. People have thoughts and they don't know the boundaries, so the enemy uses that to bring them all the way into another arena, and then they grab hold of them and they're back into captivity. They go back out rebellious. Well, let me tell you, rebellious is the first fruit. I ain't going to do this no more. I'm quitting. I'm running. Everybody, you know, there's running, but there's really no such thing of running, because you're going to run until you die, until you turn around and fight and willing to cooperate and establish boundaries with new habits and new memories. Psalm 141, is everybody there? Verse 3, set a guard, O Lord, over my what? Mouth. Keep watch over the door of my lips. Do not incline my heart to any evil thing. Is he asking that the Lord set boundaries for him? Amen. To practice wicked works with men who work iniquity. Do not let me eat of their delicacies. Let the righteous what? Strike me. It shall be a kindness. Let him rebuke me. It shall be an excellent oil, and let my head not refuse it. Hello. That's called counsel, correction, and direction. For still my prayers against the deeds of the wicked. So again, there's that, Lord, cause me to know this. Do whatever you got to do with me. Let the righteous slap me. Let them rebuke me. Let them expose me so that I'm pure with you. Ezekiel 13. He would be destroyed and good habits would be established. Ezekiel 13. Verse 20. Therefore, thus says the Lord God, behold, I'm against your magic charms by which you hunt souls like they're like birds. I will tear them from your arms and let the souls go, the souls you hunt like birds. Let me tell you, wickedness hunt souls. What's their purpose? To bring them in captivity so that they never make it home. There's still people practicing witchcraft and don't, because it's a habit to them. I'm telling you, I hear about more people getting up and reading their horoscope instead of the Bible. That's witchcraft. That's a habit that must be broke. Some people are looking at everything because they're so superstitious. Oh, this must mean this. This must mean that. But this must mean this. Well, what's God telling you? Well, he's speaking through here, 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 here. And I'm not saying that God can't speak through circumstances. But there are people who walk in such fear that it's superstitious, that it is actually practicing witchcraft, and they don't even know it. Verse 21, I will also tear off your veils and deliver my people out of your hand, and they shall no longer be as prey in your hand. Then you shall know that I am the Lord, because with lies you have made the heart of the righteous sad, whom I have not made sad, and you have strengthened the hands of the wicked, so that he does not turn from his wicked way to save his life. Therefore you shall no longer envision fertility, nor practice divination, for I will deliver my people out of your hand, and you shall know that I am the Lord. One of the things that they were practicing, they were envisioning things. They were envisioning practicing divination. They were envisioning, listen, God wants you to envision, but he wants you to envision the right things, not the wicked things. Amen. He doesn't want you to envision lustful things. He wants you to envision righteous things, not selfish things. What are you envision? What's the envision? What's in your heart now? How have you asked yourself, Lord, how do you want me to expand your kingdom? Or is it still selfishness there? How can I expand your kingdom? What do you want me to do? Or are you still in survival mode? See, those are all created habits. Survival mode is a created habit. We're born with it. But we need to have a new created habit that says surrender mode. When I don't know what to do, I'll wait till I know what to do. I won't assume. Assumption is dangerous. I hate that word. I assume. You either know or you don't know. Same thing when people come and say, well, I'll try. They call, can I come into the discipleship also? Yeah. Well, I'd like to try it. You're disqualified. What do you mean? I ain't taking nobody who wants to try it. Why? Because that's an excuse to quit. You come to do or don't come at all. Amen? Hallelujah. The Bible says, as a man thinks, so he what? Is. 1 John chapter 1. 1 John chapter 1. Creating new habits. In verse 5, 1 John chapter 1, verse 5, this is the message which we have heard from him and declare to you that God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word or his truth is not in us. Let me share something with you that needs to be a very good habit. Be quick to repent. No justification. But. No. See, it's either light or it's dark. There's no gray area. Don't make excuses why you practice darkness. Oh, I made a mistake and I did this. It doesn't matter. If you ran that red light, if you ran the stop sign, when the officer pulls over, he's not going to ask you why you did it. He's going to say to you, did you see it? No, I didn't see it. You lied. What are you trying to do? You're survival. It's that bad habit. See, that's where we need to grab hold of those bad habits and kill them and let the created new habit come forth. Yes, I did. I made a mistake. I'm sorry. There it is. It's covered by the blood of the Spirit's stolen relationship. Does everybody get this? Hallelujah. Go to chapter 3. In verse 7, little children, let no one deceive you. He who what? Practice righteousness is righteous just as he is righteous. He who sins is of the devil, for the devil has sinned from the beginning. For this purpose, the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of bad habits. The devil. Hello? Whoever has been born of God doesn't sin. Now, we know that the scripture doesn't mean that you won't make a mistake. What it means is that sin's not ruling you anymore. It's not ruling you. See, but if you're not in relationship with the Lord, you're going to take this by letter, not by spirit. You won't understand it. You won't understand it unless there's relationship in the spirit. Whoever has been born of God does not sin. Somebody will take that and go, I don't sin then. I don't need to repent. I've been born by the Spirit. Well, you just lied because you'd sin. Everyone sins. Everyone makes a mistake, thought, word, deed, every single day. Dream. You sin in your dreams. Do you ever repent for your dreams? Well, you need to start to. Lord, forgive me for that dream. And cast that spirit out, too. Whoever has been born of God does not sin, for his seed remains in him. That means you have dominion over sin. Because when you make that mistake, remember, he's not looking for perfect people. He's looking for loyal people. What are you loyal in? Repentance. That's a new created habit. Quick to repent. No justification. No reason. Don't make any excuses why you associated or petted evil. For his seed remains in him, and he cannot sin because he has been born of God. In this, the children of God and the children of the devil are manifest. Whoever does not practice righteousness is not of God. Well, I've been a believer 30 years, and I can still go drink, and I can still go do this. Well, you ain't born again, brother, and you're not from my father. You're deceived. The lie of always saved. It's amazing to me, and how that can still be preached, and how people can still believe that. You know why? There really is no relationship. They have a relationship with the letter and not the spirit. Because the spirit's convicted them like crazy. Whoever does not practice righteousness is not of God, nor is he who does not love his brother. For this is a message that you'd heard from the beginning, that we should love one another, not as Cain, who was the wicked one and murdered his brother. And why did he murder him? Because his works were what? evil and his brothers was righteous. 1 Corinthians 13, and we'll close here. Is everybody okay? You get in this? Glory to God. You know, one of the habits is that area of feeling, that false thing, that false love. There's an area of false love. And in this false love, because people, you know, in the world, people get divorced and so forth and find someone else because they lost the feeling. See, love's not a feeling, it's a choice. If you're just going to live by feeling, you're in danger. Love is not a feeling, it's a choice. Now, there's a sense of desire. There's peace, joy, and righteousness, which is the manifestation and expression of God's love. Peace, joy, righteousness. Love says this, I lay my life down for you. Didn't say I felt like it. Said this is what I do. You know, in marriage, there are things that your spouse isn't going, they're going to do something that didn't please you. You may not feel love for that person right then and there. But because you're making a choice to love them, you forgive them. And you turn it over to the Lord. You take care of that. See, love is a choice. Look at what this says. Verse 4. Love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself. Is not puffed up. Does not behave rudely. Does not seek its own. Is not provoked. Thinks no evil. Does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in truth. Bears all things, believes all things, hopes in all things, and endures all things. Love never fails. I didn't see one thing in there that said this is a feeling. Verse 11. What does it say? For when I was a child, I spoke as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man or a woman, I put away what? I put away these childish things. These bad habits are childish things. You're born with them. And they just get added on as you grow up. It gets inherited because you're acting how mom and dad acted or whoever. And in that area of bitterness, because maybe you were involved in a relationship, a marriage that turned sour, and you became bitter and didn't forgive. And you have a bad habit. So you think of the other person when things aren't going right as the old person you were married to. Are you listening? Or the old person you're in relationship with. See, that habit must be busted, broke, killed, destroyed. So a new habit is created so that you don't react. Old habits always cause you to react. New habits cause you to respond. When I was a child, I spoke as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child, but when I became a man or a woman, I put away childish things. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall know just as I am known. And now abide faith, hope, love, these three. But the greatest of these is love. Love is a choice. We choose to love one another. The power of choice. Amen? That's a new created habit. Making yourself choose it. Hallelujah. Thank you for your word, my Lord. We are honored and blessed. We know you're not looking for perfect, but you're looking for loyal. So, Lord, get us into that place where we become loyal and trustworthy to you. And we ask, Lord, that you continue to expose all of our bad habits, that they can be destroyed, removed, and the influence of those bad habits uprooted, and new habits be created from this day forth in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen.